From the newsroom of Impact Alpha, I'm Monique Aiken, and this is your Impact Briefing for Friday, June 16th. Today, Valerie Redhorse Mole, president of Known Holdings, joins David Bank to talk about the asset management firm's new majority strategy.
We are fiduciaries. We're going to put it all together in a package that makes sense and logic for shifting this capital in a way that we can celebrate Juneteenth in a way that isn't just slogans.
But first, here's what you need to know from the week in impact investing. The shakeout in the off-grid energy market in Africa has left a few big survivors. Impact Alpha connected with Zola, Sunking, and MCOPA to trace three paths to Africa's energy future. Zola has pivoted out of direct sales to provide solar technology to utilities, telecom, and other incumbents with large customer bases. MCOPA has fashioned itself a fintech provider, financing smartphones, electric vehicles, and other goods in addition to solar. And Sunking has stuck to its knitting, selling lanterns and home solar products on a pay-as-you-go basis to 5 million households via thousands of field agents. Last month, Sunking raised $130 million by securitizing its cash flows from its customers, opening up a potentially game-changing source of capital. The new U.S. Green Bank could turbocharge community-based climate partnerships. The Biden administration is rolling out rules for a $27 billion greenhouse gas reduction fund. It's not a single bank, but rather a financing program for nonprofit lenders who will be selected via a competitive grant process. These grants will leverage private capital to catalyze building energy retrofits, community solar, and other green projects in under-resourced communities. McKinsey estimates that it could mobilize more than 12 times the public investment over 10 years. Maggie Superchurch and John Moon of the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy lay out the opportunity in a guest post on Impact Alpha. Momentus Securities is taking a page from the corporate credit playbook. The new investment bank, part of Virginia-based Capital Impact Partners, is buying loans from Community Development Financial Institutions, or CDFIs, to recycle capital for affordable housing, healthcare, education, small businesses, and food systems. Momentus plans to bundle such loans into securities with investment-grade credit ratings and sell them to pension funds, endowments, and other institutional investors. And a new family of exchange-traded funds will align around companies delivering progress on the Sustainable Development Goals. The five ETFs from London-based Circa 5000 feature companies that derive the bulk of their revenues from green energy and technology, sustainable food and biodiversity, clean water and waste, social and economic empowerment, and health and well-being. The ETFs are based on new indices from Impact, an impact analytics firm based in Montreal. Impact's analysis goes beyond ESG to assess a company's contribution to SDG solutions and how much revenue it generates from them. And now it's time to hear from Valerie Redhorse Mole of Known Holdings. Known has come out strong as one of the few major asset management firms led by Black, Indigenous, Latina, and Asian American co-founders. On the eve of the Juneteenth holiday, let's jump right into David's conversation with Valerie.
Valerie Redhorse Mole, the president of Known Holdings. I'm delighted to have you on the podcast, Valerie.
Well, thank you for having me, David. It's been so nice knowing you over the years, and I'm happy to be here in my new role.
Likewise, we've watched you as you went to East Bay Community Foundation and now to Known Holdings, which has kind of come out of the gate strong. Why don't you just give our listeners a little orientation of what is Known Holdings?
Absolutely. So we are founded and led by four partners who all came from different disciplines, as it were, in different areas in finance. We're Black, Indigenous, Latina, and Asian American owned and led. The main idea is that we manage assets, we deploy assets, we shift capital to focus on eliminating the racial wealth gap. However, I would say that we're actually focused on more than that. We want our communities of color to thrive, and we want to really attack the fact that 98% of our assets are managed by one demographic, and we just want to see an equitable distribution of capital so it flows into our communities and elevates family, individual family wealth, generational wealth, and basically becomes equitable in terms of the distribution of the assets in this country.
So that's a long way from just diversity, equity, and inclusion, to say the least, I suppose.
Well, we like to say we don't have a DEI office because it's a lived experience for us. And we think racial equity might be too low of a bar. We don't just want to kind of come up to you know, the medium. We do think the ability to thrive is important. And I think the problem for us actually using a DEI framework is that also often implies minority, disadvantaged, you know, underserved, which are true. But we look at our communities of color as the new majority. Census will tell us we will be the new majority in about 10 years. And so we think in terms of elevation, thriving for the new majority.
Well, just tell us a little bit about the services. Actually, one of the things that caught our attention, obviously, was the announcement recently that you are acquiring the one of the funds from Living Cities that I think was called New Majority and had a similar thesis. Is that part of what Known is doing?
Absolutely. We are working with like-minded entities. We're so thrilled about the acquisition of the Catalyst 3 fund, which has the exact same thesis that we have. It's very focused on being a fund of funds, and we're much broader in all the work that we do and all the business lines. But I love working with Dimitrik and Thaddeus and their entire team at Living Cities Catalyst 3 Fund.
And you say, do I have this right, the largest or the first, or what is the qualifier, Black, Indigenous, Latina, Asian American-led asset management firm? But you're relatively new and you're quickly the largest.
Well, we're relatively new in terms of a corporate formation. But if you were to look at my resume and Jim Castleberry's resume in particular, we are 3 weeks apart age-wise, and we have been in the business 40 years. So our track record would not put us in any sort of new or emerging category. We've been around a while, and combining our strengths is very exciting, which is why we've been able to gather those assets under management so quickly, because we came to this with a deep experience and a track record, as do our other partners in sort of other areas.
And just give us a sense of the impact. There's the wealth generation aspect, obviously, but also particular thesis and kind of point of view that you're looking for in the managers around impact. How do you think about that?
Well, our thesis is to invest in the best and the brightest. And it's also a thesis around positive impact in their strategies. So we basically, when it comes to asset management, invest in what we would consider 70% of the global population that has really been left out of asset management. So those fund managers that are the best and the brightest, and then also have strategies that improve people and planet. We don't use the phrase ESG too often because it's so politicized, but honestly, what we look for are strategies that elevate and innovate around things like climate and racial justice and gender justice and place and community. So we definitely have a focus on strategy, as well as our BIPOC fund managers, as well as financial return, as well as place-based investing when and where possible.
I think you think there's a sort of alpha opportunity there. This is not concessionary investing. This is outperformance, no?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what Jim and I have a track record demonstrating. We've been doing this for a long time, and we have consistently in our fund management style and thesis, which is investing in diverse managers, we've outperformed benchmarks. I can't make any promises to future performance, but we certainly have been able to show that it's not concessionary, and that when you invest in the best and brightest that have been really left out, there's an opportunity for alpha, and we've been able to do it. And it's exciting to be able to do it in a much bigger way as we scale with Known.
Well, so Valerie, you've been doing this with Tribal Nations for many years, and with East Bay Community Foundation, as we said, and worked with some of the big bulge bracket banks and others to try to pursue this, and I guess have the scars to show for it. You're sort of off making a different proposition to folks who want to go 100% impact and align their assets with their mission. I don't know, what are the couple things that people should think about as they jump into that as they get on that journey?
Well, I would, for one thing, say that I'm not sure we're in complete opposition. We are in discussions to work with some of the bulge bracket banks in helping them potentially understand what we're doing, because we are redefining risk. We're redefining how we look at the credentials and the due diligence of our fund managers enabled to achieve a return, but not default to the same funds over and over again. And so our ability, because we've been doing it for so long, to go 100% all in across all asset classes is a differentiator. But we have no problem with transparency in helping others get there as well. So we're not looking at ourselves in opposition to the bulge bracket banks, but more as partners that can come alongside and lead the way into this style of investing that shouldn't be put in some box in a small part of your portfolio. It shouldn't be 10 or 20%. We believe it has to be 100% to really make a difference. We need to get there.
So we're coming up on Juneteenth, a federal holiday, and we're a few years out from the murder of George Floyd and all that ensued from that. How far along are we on this path, as it were, to greater racial equity, especially in asset management and finance?
Well, you know, I'm Indigenous and I don't like to dwell on the negative, but I think we all have to recognize that the majority of wealth in this country was garnered by taking of native lands for no money and free labor in African slaves. And so when we consider that as the basis for a lot of the wealth in this country, we are not anywhere near an equitable distribution of capital, of making things where they need to be, in my opinion. And I think what we look at is how do we get there and how do we get there as quickly as possible? And as much as we love our philanthropic partners, we recognize that philanthropic grants and work will not get us to where we need to be with this shift of capital. And so what I really think we're looking at is logic around when you have a diverse community of your population, and we will be the new majority. If you take all of the communities of color, we will be the new majority in about 10 years, and globally we already are. And then you consider that we manage and control only 1.3% of our financial assets. It's just a logical equation. We want to move capital to invest, like I said, in the best and brightest. We don't want to settle for mediocre styles of investing that have been in place for years. I think best practices have hurt some of our communities. There's a lot of misunderstanding and misconceptions. There's fear about being a fiduciary and yet changing something that maybe isn't working. So we are change makers, we are fiduciaries. We're gonna put it all together in a package that makes sense and logic for shifting this capital in a way that we can celebrate Juneteenth in a way that isn't just slogans and celebrations and philanthropic events, but actually we can see some capital shifting so that our families of color are raising their median income and they're living in communities where the tax base is larger and they're achieving generational wealth and home ownership. There's a reason we're called KNOWN, that O-W-N, is because we believe we have to advocate for ownership in our communities. And it includes that corporate growth, that job creation that really leads to home ownership abilities and small business ownership and generational wealth. So we are really trying to make a huge difference, and we believe it's achievable.
Well, thank you, Valerie Redhorse Maul. That 1.3% number has been stubbornly stuck for many years, and it looks like maybe you're gonna at least move it up a few notches. So we're gonna be watching, and we hope you'll come back and tell us how it's going. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for having me on today.
And that's going to do it for this week's Impact Briefing. Thanks to Valerie, David, and our producer, Isaac Silk. Ready to try Impact Alpha? Sign up for Impact Alpha Open, free of charge, directly at impactalpha.com. Want to go deeper? Grab a subscription and get full access to the site, Agents of Impact calls, and the daily email brief. Just go to impactalpha.com/subscribe and choose an annual subscription. Thank you for listening. I'm Anique Aiken, Managing Director for TIP, the Investment Integration Project. Be sure to check back for next week's briefing, and until then, take care.